It's good to be with you again this week. Now, last time I was here, over the two services, morning and evening, I think I had a 19-point sermon. Well, this week, it's 12, so it's a bit shorter. I've got 12 points today. Three will be this morning, a bit longer points, and then nine this evening, but that doesn't mean it will be three times as long this evening. But I want this morning to look at this character Uzziah, and then this evening we'll look at Isaiah chapter 6, which begins in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord. And we'll look at Isaiah chapter 6 this evening. But this morning, more particularly at Uzziah. So those are famous opening words in Isaiah 6. And there's so many chapters on there of God's word that have opening words that we know, and we know where they are because of the opening words. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report. So we sort of know, don't we, chapters by these opening phrases, and I'm sure there's more as well, just as we perhaps recognise a piece of music by the opening bars, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in particular. You know, we hear the first few bars and know that's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Anyway, coming on to the 12-point sermon, let's, as I say, look at 3 points this morning concerning Uzziah, and all the points end with the letters N-E-S-S. So all the points end, they're one word, and they all end with N-E-S-S, just to make it a bit easier. And the first point is haughtiness. H-A-U-G-H-T-I-N-E-S-S, haughtiness concerning King Uzziah. We read, didn't we, in 2 Chronicles 26 about Uzziah, and that indeed he was very successful and very popular and of great influence. And we sort of read about that in that chapter. Of course, he was a young king. He became a king at 16 years old, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, as verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 26 tells us. Reminds us, doesn't it, of our queen. She's spared to be 70 years next year, the Platinum Jubilee. And indeed, how right is our national anthem, God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble Queen. But here was a king who did what was right, certainly at the beginning, in God's eyes. And he did it in the days of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the eyes of God, in verse 4, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It kind of reminds me too, if we go back a couple of chapters to 2 Chronicles 24, to Joash. Again, he was a young king. And he reigned well during the time that Jehoiada the priest was alive. And we read in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. Another king who reigned for a considerable time. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And then we read later on in the chapter, we read something different. There was a turning point, as there is for Uzziah. Verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 24. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. And so it continues. So I think there's, from these two kings, you know, that there's a couple of very important lessons. And with Joash, firstly, you know, he was very dependent, really, on Jehoiada, wasn't he? And we have to be careful as the Lord's people that, you know, that our faith and our salvation is not put in an individual person, a pastor or a parent or a godly friend. You know, we thank God, don't we, for those who have had a good influence in our Christian life. But they haven't saved us. You know, my mum was a Christian, but my salvation is not due to her. I remember when I was baptized some years ago at Emmanuel in Salisbury. And one of the elders came out to sort of interview me about it. I had baptismal classes as well, but it was one of the elders who interviewed me. And he sort of asked me why I wanted to be baptized. And I was quite sort of young and a bit naive. And then I said, well, you know, my mum was, it was a lovely experience or something. But he didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to know about my mum. He wanted to know why I was going to go through the waters of baptism, what the Lord has done for me. And so that's the case, isn't it, with us? It's what God in Christ has done for us, not for somebody else. We can't rely on somebody else for our salvation. We know, don't we, that we're dead in trespasses and sins by nature. And I mean, none of us are able to call somebody to live, can't we? You know, in a physical way, we can't bring somebody back to life, and nor can we bring someone to spiritual life who is dead in trespasses and in sins. So we do thank God, don't we, for those who've had a good influence on our life, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone who saves us. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who paid for our sins, not anybody else. In Galatians 5:7 it says, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And there is that, isn't there? And we sort of come on to that as well with Uzziah as well. That the Christian life, you know, it's a journey, isn't it? And we, with the God's help, we are to persevere, aren't we? And it's very easy to sort of leave our first love, as the church at Ephesus did. And Paul was often on a, you know, he often talked like an athlete, used athletic language, talking about running races. And here we are in Galatians 5. You did run well. And, you know, you think of an athlete. You know, an athlete who's whatever race it is. It's a case of running well throughout, isn't it? And particularly a short race. You know, you might, if you're running the 400 metres, and you might bomb that 100 metres, you might be well ahead of everybody else. But you've got another 300 metres to go. And so you need to still be running well at the end in order to win the race. But our God, He will help us, won't He, to persevere to the end. And that's not easy, is it? Persevering, keep going with things. But the Lord will help us. Perseverance of the saints, of course, is one of the 5 points of Calvinism, which I'm sure we're aware of. So in the case of, I mentioned Joash because, you know, he was a good king during the time that Jehoiada was the priest. But then it all kind of went wrong after Jehoiada died. And so it is with Uzziah. And a very sort of similar thing as well, although not quite the same reasons, but we read, don't we, a turning point with Uzziah was not the death of somebody influential, but it was that he became strong. And that was the problem. That was perhaps a turning point with Uzziah. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26, speaking of seeking God in the days of Zechariah. And we read, don't we, of the great things that he did. But then verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26, but when he was strong, here's a turning point. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So he sort of got haughty, he got sort of big for his boots, and he thought he was perhaps untouchable. And this is really his sort of downfall. He became very egoistic, and he thought he was very important, self-important, and felt that he couldn't do anything wrong. He also, of course, transgressed against the Lord by going into the temple and burning incense. And this was just for the priest of Aaron to do, to burn incense, not for him. And he felt as though, well, he could intrude in that. But of course, he was not to do that. He was a king. He was not to be a priest. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is a king and a priest, prophet, priest and king. And of course, with our Lord Jesus Christ, he sort of was after the order of Melchizedek, who we read of in Hebrews and in Genesis, who was a king and a priest. But Uzziah was not to be the one that was to be in the order of Melchizedek. And so it was a very tragic and a wrong thing than Uzziah did. Which brings us into the point two, which is sickness. He was angry. Uzziah was angry because of the priest's reaction to him, and it was right that they should react in that way. But we read in 2 Kings 15:5, a shorter account, that the Lord struck him down with leprosy. It's also mentioned in this chapter, but also in 2 Kings 15. And leprosy, that made people unclean. You read of people sort of saying they were unclean if they were leprous. And it isolated people. So as I said, Uzziah, as I mentioned, he sort of destroyed the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, after the order of Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest. And there's another occasion, which I might have mentioned here before, I've mentioned it quite a few times in the past, of when a sort of a type was destroyed and there was a severe sort of judgment for it. And that was with Moses, when he of course, he was forbidden in the end to enter the promised land. Remember one occasion, at the first occasion at Rephidim, in Exodus 16, that Moses struck the rock and water gushed forth. And then in Numbers 20, we read again at Kadesh, he was told to speak to the rock. And because he was sort of quite angry at that point and frustrated, was Moses, he struck the rock. And water did gush forth. But then we read that he was not allowed to enter the promised land or take the people into the promised land. That was for Joshua to do. And it reminds us that when we think of the scriptures, we think of Christ. Christ is often described as a rock, and there's many references to that. And we think of Christ and his work, that he was struck once for sin. He died on the cross once. When he comes again, he's not having to die on a cross again. He died once on the cross for his people. And with this sort of two strikings of the rock by Moses, it's as though, well, if it's a type of Christ, then no, in no way was Christ to suffer the sins twice, only the once. And so we perhaps can see there something of the judgment on Moses, in not being able to take the people of God into the promised land. Wonderful, isn't it, when we look at the Old Testament and we see these shadows and these types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fascinating, isn't it, to think, to read of them in God's Word. You know, Christ is there so much in the Old Testament. Christ is, it doesn't just appear in Matthew when he was born in Bethlehem. You know, Christ is there in the Old Testament, and there are pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, and he's seen in so many shadows and in characters in the Old Testament. And he's seen like in, you know, particularly like in Joseph. Joseph is particularly a character I like. And I think it was A.W. Pink said there was about 100 different parallels between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here was haughtiness in this king, And then there was sickness through his disobeying. And this king who was successful and well thought of, suddenly his life went downhill. And we read, don't we, that he was strong. And then it got to his head, his strength. And just as I said before about, you know, our salvation is not dependent on somebody else, though we thank God for these people who've influenced us in life, they can't save us. And nor is it our own strength that can save us. So it's not necessarily somebody else, it's our own strength. Sometimes we can get, you know, thinking, oh, we're untouchable. And that, you know, we can save ourselves. And that we can do enough to save ourselves. Well, we can't. You know, God demands of us 100% obedience. And we can't give that to God because we're sinners. And we have fallen well short. We come well short of the glory of God. So we as we thank God for those who've had a good influence on our lives, so we thank God for the strength that we have, but we should use it for his glory, shouldn't we? We shouldn't be using it to draw attention to ourselves. And the good works that we should do as God's people, we should do them that people may see it and glorify God, not us, as it says in Matthew, about they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, not to glorify us. So we have haughtiness and sickness, and thirdly, loneliness. And this king became a leper, and so really that meant that he was sort of quite isolated in quarantine because of being a leper. And he remained a leper to his dying day, and he was cut off from the house of the Lord. You know, it's sad, isn't it, perhaps, that if we get older, that we perhaps might lose something of the zeal for God that we had when we were younger. May it be that as we get older, that our zeal increases with our age. And may our last days be really good days because we're full of God, and we haven't lost that love that we had at the beginning, or left it. The hymn speaks, doesn't it? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? So, you know, when we're converted, we're really on cloud nine, as it were. And then perhaps as time goes by and trials come in life, then suddenly we're not so fervent and zealous for the Lord. But may it be, unlike Uzziah, that our last days will be good days. And though physically they might not be good days, I'm sure we all experiencing and will experience as we get older, or that, you know, the brain doesn't function like it does, the legs don't, the arms don't, whatever. But though the outward man perish, may we know inwardly strengthening and renewing spiritually day by day. Loneliness, of course, has been very much in the news of late. We've obviously with COVID and the pandemic and people in isolation, and it's been much in the news, isn't it, about loneliness. And perhaps we might have felt it a bit, and not being able to sort of see family and friends for some time. I mean, I haven't seen any of our family physically since March of last year. You know, we've obviously been in touch, but not sort of seen them. And we long to be able to do that again at some point. But I'm interested in Titus, and these words in Titus, and we also have some words in 1 John as well, about like ministry to those who are lonely, or ministry in the church. And Titus 2 says, "But speak now the things which become sound doctrine. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour, in all things." Why I mention those is that we have mentioned there of different groups of people. And so that's sort of the ministry in the church, isn't it? It's to be to different sort of people, you know. And there we have older men and older women. And we have husbands and wives and children and servants and masters. And young men, they're all sort of mentioned, aren't they? And we have that at different places in Scripture where different groups of people are mentioned and addressed, so that nobody is sort of to be left out. And so it is in our churches. You know, we're all of different ages, and there are those who are married, those who are widowed, those who are single, and those who are young, those who are older. And we've all got different backgrounds, and so it is, isn't it, that, you know, the message that goes forth, you know, you want it to be for everyone to hear, whatever age or circumstance that you are in. Because the gospel is for all, isn't it? Whatever age we are, whatever intellect we are. And I was listening yesterday to the graduation service at Emmanuel Salisbury, two students who graduated. And the emphasis there is not sort of academic qualifications. They don't get some degree at the end of it. They just have done the course, and they get a certificate for doing the course, and trust that these men may go on to be pastors in churches to come. But one of the students, when he just gave his sort of 5-minute testimony, he mentioned about Spurgeon, and Spurgeon was in conference with some conversation with somebody, and then he said to this person, he said, "That man may preach the gospel better than me, but that man cannot preach a better gospel." And that's true, isn't it? Whoever is preaching the gospel, you know, I guess we all have our... I get on well with him, and him, he's a bit harder going. I guess we all have our favourites. But really, when it boils down to it, it's the same gospel, and whoever is preaching it, you know, they can't preach a better gospel than the gospel that we have in God's word. But it's good, isn't it, to think again then of, as I say, about loneliness and the message being addressed to all. You know, we've heard the expression one size fits all. But it may be that perhaps the message that it goes forth from the pulpit, that it's a message that is suitable for all in some ways, and that there is that concern for everyone there. And of course, you can't just assume that everybody is a Christian either, you know, and so there's a message to go out and seek the Lord now, seek his face now. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It should never be assumed that, well, everyone who's gathering in a church is a church building is born again, because it's only God who really knows the hearts, isn't it, of us all. And in 1 John 2:12 to 14, again we have instructions to different groups. Also, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Remember Tyndale, who said, didn't he, when in the translation of God's word, if God spare my life, ere many years I will cause a boy who drives a plough to know more of the scriptures than you do, talking to the religious hierarchy of the day. That boy who drives a plough, cause him to know more of the scriptures. And so it is, isn't it? It's the gospel is simple. It's not sort of, you know, there are areas which can be quite complicated, but the basic gospel is very simple, isn't it? And yes, that simple, plain message that we are sinners, hell-deserving sinners, but that in the Lord Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sins, and we can know peace with God now and for eternity. So that's the 3 points this morning concerning Uzziah, and the 9 points this evening, a bit shorter, concern the vision of Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at that, God willing, this evening. But mainly just these few thoughts be a blessing and help to us. Amen.